Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Now listen, 12-year-old Jimmy whispered to his classmates Lenny and Vince. I know just where Mrs. Atwell keeps the social studies tests. Vince, you call her out of the room after the bell rings. Find some excuse to get her down the hall to your locker. Meantime, I'll sneak in and lift a copy of Thursday's test out of her desk drawer. Wow, Vince's face lit up in admiration. It sure would be great to have that test in advance. Get the answer sheet too, right? But isn't she going to know if the test is missing? Interjected Lenny. That's where you come in, Jimmy replied. You stand guard outside the room while I run down to Xerox the pages. If she comes back before I'm done, you figure out something to keep her out of the room. Boy, said Vince, this is so cool. Just wait till Thursday. We're all going to be flying high, man. From a parent's perspective, what should we know and do about our children's values? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Peter Schwartz is executive director and founder of Values First. Values First is an initiative that trains principals and teachers to promote basic universal values in elementary school children in Washington, D.C. Peter has three daughters, ages 23, 16, and 1.5. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Peter.
Thank you.
Short of actually seeing a kid commit a crime or a good deed, how can we tell what our kids' values are?
In answering that question, you have to look at the question itself, that a child doesn't actually commit a crime out of the blue. They think things, they say things, they feel things, they do things. And you start young enough, you'll see that all children start beautifully, and you will be able to see as a child moves away from a core sense of values. So you start with the right things and you keep them on the right path is the way to not see them commit a crime in the end.
If values are so important, aren't parents the ones who should be teaching them?
Absolutely. Parents should be teaching them. But if education is so important, one doesn't say, aren't parents supposed to be the ones that do education? And of course, we don't say that. What happens is that parents should do things, and they would like the things that they do on a positive basis reinforced in the schools. And so that the peer pressure that can happen in a school on a negative basis doesn't. That's what this does. So we help educate the students into a common sense of values so that they can take those values and have them reinforced at home and vice versa.
So that the peer pressure, instead of being negative, will be positive.
Right. By creating a culture in the school where the values are positive and it's happening every day. You see that all the time. When we train the teachers, we ask them to infuse the values 12 times a day at a minimum. And if you take that times 8 years of elementary schools and 180 days a year, that's 17,000 times that a child can have the values reinforced. So what happens is they are getting praised and recognized for showing good values and the values that they have and the values code that they carry with them. And then all that peer pressure, instead of being negative, becomes positive because the way of life in the school and the classroom becomes centered around those values.
Don't you think it could be risky for schools to be involved in deciding which values to teach children?
It depends on what you mean by which values. We're not talking about political values here of the right or the left, and we're not talking about moral values. For instance, justice. Justice by whom, for whom, would be tricky if justice was a value that was taught. But we're talking about the basic universal values that are common to every parent, and what would be honesty, respect, responsibility. Everybody wants to have an honest child, a responsible child, a respectful child. So those are the universal values that are promoted in this initiative. And out of 12,000 students, and so it must be something like 20,000 parents, there hasn't been one response of a negative basis, even though the values code that goes along with these values in the school goes home with each and every student.
What happens to it when it goes home? It goes home in what form?
It goes home in the form of the small values code, which has each of the universal values: honesty, respect, responsibility, courage, self-control, compassion, tolerance, etc. And it's followed by a little tagline: honesty, I will be an honest person. And it's on a laminated card, which the students get when they start with the initiative from the teachers. And after the teachers have been comfortable with it for a while, they have another values code that they ask the students to take home and put in a public place at the home. Like the refrigerator is the one that's always suggested. Then when one of the values is talked about at the school, they say, well, when you go home, talk about how your parents might have been courageous at one instance or another. So it doesn't teach them, it starts a conversation. And the responses from the parents are such that they are saying, oh, I really like what I'm hearing, and we're starting to use these values at home. We hear comments from teachers are that the parents are really quite enthusiastic when they find their own child saying, Mommy, are you being honest? And these are all documented responses from teachers themselves.
It's interesting. I wonder if it involves more parents in their children's education because it's something the parents can understand more than some of the other things that go on in a school.
I think it helps to involve them more. And I think everybody could be familiar with this happening from the school in any event. My children used to come home and say, Dad, you're not supposed to toss the bottles in the trash. That's not being ecological. And after several months of that, possibly 6 or 7 or 8, I stopped doing that and took the bottles and put them in the recycling bin. And that was basically a value that they picked up at school, thought it was worthwhile, and began to talk to me about it. So that's the kind of conversation that happens, and it ties it all together. The parents feel good because they're getting some help in that, and they see the school is helping them as they help themselves.
Okay, well, this leads right into a discussion of your initiative values first. Can you tell our listeners what this is all about?
Sure. Values First was started 9 years ago at the urging of the then president of the Board of Education to try to bring values into the local classrooms, into the community. And it was set up to do that. It started with books, and then it went to a curriculum guide. And over 9 years, it evolved into an initiative where our mission statement says it best, which is that we create through partnerships with school communities, through training, a school culture where students, staff, and teachers all understand, believe in, and want to act on the universal values as a way of life. And that's what we do, and that's what the principals buy into, that they want to turn these values as part of the school culture into a way of life. So there's four main components of it. There's the values code, which has the values printed out and colored, and each student gets one. It's in a poster in the classroom, and it's banners in the hall. Then the second component is a teacher's pledge, where before a school undertakes an initiative, the teachers pledge certain things to be a role model with the values, to be a leader with the values, to be effective caregiver of the values.
Now, who do they pledge this to?
They pledge that to the kids?
To the
principal.
Okay.
We're not involved in that part of it. So then the third is the 6 building blocks, where we have, over 9 years of research, seen that there are really only 6 ways to reach the child's mind when he's at school, 6 portals: a definition, using the values as a tapestry of language, using little values and actions projects so that they actually do things that involve the values.
It's like a hands-on kind of thing.
Right. Let's say, for instance, this weekend, why don't you do something that's courageous and write it on the board when you come in? Hmm. Small things that add up over time. Then involving the parents, which is, we talked about courageousness today. Then when you go home, talk about something courageous and write it on the board tomorrow. Then there's behavior. When a child does something that is wrong, you bring them back to the sense of values and have them write something about how they are going to reinforce those values better next time. And then finally, it's praise and recognition. The teachers are trained to use the values as a way of praising and recognizing, and not only as a way of negatively trying to enforce behavior.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on our children's values.
Two excellent books written by hosts Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, are available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Peter Schwartz, founder of Values First. Now, is this also something that dovetails into certain units of study so that it goes with the academics? For example, I was thinking courageous. You know, you can talk about certain historic figures and so on. Are the teachers supposed to be doing that?
What you train the teachers to do is to infuse the values. Let's say courageousness, if you're going to focus on a value 1 week, is to infuse that in everything that's happening, whether it's literature, whether it's a historical figure. And you bring out the value that was in that story, why the value would be important to that story, and then do they think they could use that value in their life and why it would be important in their life. So it's just a seamless way of doing it, and then you move on. You have to remember what we train the teachers to do is to bring these values out in small ways, but bring them out consistently. And if they do that over a period of the 8 years of elementary school, 12 times a day, that's 17,000 little values lessons that will occur. So it's very powerful. Getting back to the fourth element, which is the principal's leadership, we found that across the United States that charismatic principals who have started infusing values in their schools have had seven characteristics. And we've isolated those and we've called those the seven building blocks of principal leadership. And we train the principals just like we train the teachers over the years we're with them in the school so that they become effective leaders of the initiative in their school.
Do they then look at the teachers from time to time to evaluate how they're doing?
Yes, they look at the teachers. In fact, that's the principal building block number four, where they assess and evaluate the teachers, which they're allowed to do under school climate. They're supposed to use the values words themselves. They're supposed to encourage the teachers. They're supposed to make it part of the culture in student letters, back to school nights. The fourth one, as I just said, is to assess and evaluate. They're supposed to make sure the parents are aware when they're talking to the parents or writing in the parents about that these are the values that have become the culture of the school. They're supposed to make sure all the teachers take the training. That's the sixth building block. And the seventh is that they learn what the six building blocks are so that they can help assess and help encourage the teachers in the classrooms. So those are the training blocks that the principals need to do and learn so that they can become effective leaders. It's really very simple. The first training, actually, we bring them out of the school and we train the principals over lunch.
So it sounds like a very nice thing to do.
Right. They certainly enjoy it, and we do too.
It's very positive. Well, nobody could ever argue with your list, I wouldn't think, of these 12 universal values, but how did you decide which ones to use?
Well, we decided in conjunction with the first schools that we were asked to go visit. And when we saw that the books weren't working in those schools because there wasn't a universality of a common language and a common understanding of the basic values, we sat down with the teachers and the principals and parents and said, well, there was a list of 50. Which are the basic ones? And we wanted to limit it to 12. And so which are the basic universal values that we want our students to have that would make them good members of the home community, the neighborhood community, and the school community? And there was a lot of discussion, and it ended up with these 12. Honesty, respect, responsibility, compassion, self-control, forgiveness, tolerance, cooperation, etc. And there's a 13th on that list, which is self-knowledge, which isn't a value, but the teachers felt that the children had to be able to have an introspection so that these values would take hold, that they would be able to have the ability to look at themselves.
What has been the greatest challenge for the teachers so far? There must be a lot of challenges, but is there a special one that you're seeing over and over?
The greatest are really the two basic bedrocks of the success, if this is going to be a success in the school, and that's consistency. We train them that they have to be consistent. We talked about 12 times a day, talked about 180 days out of the year, and talked about 8 years is 17,000 times. So that over a period of time, the teachers are taught to be consistent so that one teacher is not doing it for the second grade student, and then when the student gets to third grade, that teacher is not doing it. So to be consistent is the most important thing. That's what our training involves, is to help them and to ensure that they have the techniques, that they're bringing it out in the stories, etc., in the classroom behavior, the cafeteria behavior, in the playground behavior, so that it is consistently infused into everything that the child is experiencing and learning at school. So that's part A of the challenge. And the second is that the key to consistency is the principal. And this is what we've learned over the 9 years. The teachers can't have it consistent in all the school. They can have it consistent in their classroom. But it's the principal who oversees everything that has to make sure that the consistency is taking place day in and day out in all the classrooms, year in and year out. And that's why the training of the principal is so important, till they get to have this infusion as a way of life in everything that they do and say and write in the school. So those are the two greatest challenges.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on our children's values.
For an audio cassette copy of any Parent's Perspective show, send a check or money order for $5 with your name, address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. Today we are talking with Peter Schwartz, founder of Values First.
Are you finding now, are the teachers helping each other, telling each other ways that they have found to infuse things, and then somebody else is using somebody's ideas?
Yes. What happens is we do trainings at grade level where there's discussion among the teachers. And so the enthusiastic ones bring other ones along, and they see that it's not hard, it's not extra work. That's the type of reactions that actually help it become consistent over a period of time.
How can you measure the success of Values First? Is it measurable?
It's measurable, and that's why it is a success. We could start backwards. It's measurable because the school superintendent has just signed a contract with Values First to make sure it's in 30 schools, and then to sit down this summer and work out a system how it could be part of the academic standards. Even before that, all the assistant superintendents of the middle school and the elementary schools, of which there are 5, have asked us to make presentation to all the principals in their divisions because of what they've heard, grassroots of success. Specifically, though, success is measured from the principals when they look at the school climate, when they look at days of tardiness, days of absences, when they look at fights, vandalism, thefts. All of these things, referrals to the principal's office, begin to improve, sometimes absolutely dramatically, and they see that this is part of something that they need to have in their school. One of the main detriments to learning, for instance, is classroom management, disruptions in the classroom. This definitely helps to improve that, because the students then all have a vested interest in this common sense of values that becomes a way of life in their classroom. So as the classroom begins to improve in terms of disruption, and the teachers don't have to spend 20 or 30% of their times on disruptions in the classroom, they have more times for teachings, and over time academics improve as well.
When we watched videos of some Values First activities in the classroom, it was so interesting to see the children taking pleasure in what they knew and what they had learned in these areas, and enjoying giving compliments to each other, for example. There were things they did that we thought they would never have done in the classroom without this program. And by doing them in the classroom, it lends a certain credibility and importance to what they're learning.
Well, I remember one specific incident when we were filming those videos, and a lot of it had to do with filming the teachers and how they were doing it, the different methods that they're doing in the classroom. And at the end, we said to the children, well, turn around and face the camera. What does this values code mean to you? And the camera crew just was shocked. They even started, one of the members started crying because the children spoke out as they saw this was their key to how I can be a good person, how I can be a successful person, how I can have courage to do my work, how I've learned to stop fighting. And there was just this spontaneous outcry of like all the things the values code had done for them.
So it really gives the students a different perspective on sort of a track of their life, it sounds like.
It gives them a different perspective. It gives them a perspective that they are doing something that everybody else in their classroom is doing, that they're getting praised for it and they feel good about it, as opposed to just getting the classroom runs, and if somebody is bad, they get criticized. So this, they're getting praise. That's the praise recognition portion that we train the teachers on, to praise and recognize the students for exemplifying the values. So they all begin to feel good together.
There's much less emphasis here on negatives in the classroom. It's positive. It's aimed
positive.
For the positive and reinforce what the kids are doing.
Even in the behavior modification, if somebody does something wrong, we train the teachers to ask them how they are going to do better in that value in the future.
Is there a plan to watch these kids when they get into high school to see how they react in a high school environment after they've had this kind of infusion of values?
Well, the plan is that within the next couple of years to have it as a standard in all the elementary schools, followed by a reinforcement to go into the middle schools and a couple of years thereafter to go in the high schools. The middle school time is the most crucial time in the schooling for having a child veer off of what could be the right way, which is they come to a new school with a new principal, with a new teacher, and a new location. They're no longer the oldest now, they're the youngest. And so they watch behaviors of others and start modeling it, and they're a little insecure. They've left the security of their elementary school behind. The vision of how this would work is, imagine that first day in junior high school when they would come in and the values code that they had all the way through elementary school was hanging on the wall in their middle school, and the teacher could say, "Welcome to class. This is a value-centered school, too. Who can tell me what honesty means to them?" So they would all see that that commonality of experience is taken over into middle school, and then you would do the same in high school. And the long-term vision, we've been at it 9 years now, is that sometime 15, 16, 18 years from now, the first class of high school students will graduate having had all 14 years of values infused over the entire schooling from pre-K all the way through to high school. At 12 times a day, 180 times a year, that would be 34,000 values lessons that they would have. So that's the day we're waiting for.
What resources would you recommend for parents who want to bring a values first type of initiative to their own schools? How can they get more information?
Well, our initiative was mandated when we undertook it is to try to bring it to D.C. Elementary schools to be followed by middle schools, to be followed by high schools. A parent who was interested would talk with other parents, with the PTA, with their principal, and to say, is this something that we would like to do here? The basics of our initiative, and they could always be adopted. We don't charge the schools for undertaking this. We raise the money from outside sources. So if they wanted the video that you talked about, or you know, the outline of the program, the passport, as we say, they could do it, and then they could adopt it for their own school.
What phone number would they call to get in touch with you?
Well, that would be Values First, which is 202-861-1350.
Can you repeat that for people who are screwing for pencils?
No. Okay. So in Washington, D.C., Values First, 202-861-1350.
Well, we have been delighted. This has added certainly a lot of value to our radio program to have Peter Schwartz with us, the head of Values First Initiative. Thanks so much, Peter.
You're certainly welcome.
Our gift for our first caller is an autographed copy of our book, Parents as Mentors. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8255. 1-800-875-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address, and tell us what station you're listening to. Since we're airing all over the world, it's always fun to know what station you're tuning in from. Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids are both available at all major bookstores and on the web.
To learn more about Parents' Perspective and our books Parents as Mentors and Washington, D.C. with Kids, visit our website, http://i.am/parentsperspective. That's http://i.am/parentsperspective. This is Sandy Burt and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents' Perspective. Our sound engineer is Damon Fisher. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.